What a mighty God we serve. And we ought to love him because he first loved us. Thank the choir as they go down. What a blessing they've been to us today. Wonderful. Just wonderful getting our hearts ready for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Listen, you need preaching. So do I. We need preaching. I mean, good Bible preaching. Not just hooping and hollering, but hooping and hollering about something. Amen. The Word of God changes lives. And we thank the Lord. We are going to finish preaching our theme for this year. We've been in it since the beginning. And we're going to close out these last few verses in Philippians chapter 1. So go there with me in the Word of God, would you? Philippians chapter number 1. I hope that everybody in the building has a Bible to look on. And you can look up on the screens. We'll make all of the scriptures available to you, so that you know this preacher is not preaching his opinion, but the Bible. Amen. You can't believe him just because he's the pastor. Huh? You got to believe him because he's giving you God's word. Philippians chapter 1. Here we are. Let's look at verse number 8. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet, what? More and more. There's the theme, in knowledge and in all judgment, that you approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be, next word, sincere and what? Without offense. Right? It means you don't want no mess on your shoes. Right? You don't want to do something as a Christian to cause somebody else to stumble. Okay, so you can't just live how you want to live because somebody's watching you. And when you say you love Jesus and you do stuff that people that don't love Jesus do, then people that really love Jesus wonder if they should do what you do because you said you love him. That's what he means by without offense. Amen. How long am I supposed to live without offense? Till when? When is the day of Christ? When what? He comes back. Wait a minute now, you do believe he's coming? Amen. Let me ask you again. Say it like you mean it. You do believe he's coming? Amen. And you believe he's coming for you, right? Yes. You got to know him. You have to belong to him. You got to be saved. Yes. Amen. If you're not saved, you're not looking forward to him coming. Because when he comes, you're still going to be here. But if you're saved, you should be looking for him to come. Because when he does, we're getting up out of here. Amen. Stop living like you're going to stay here forever. Send your luggage ahead. Amen. When you get on the plane, you put it on the, and when you arrive, watch this now, if you put it on the belt, when you get there, it's there waiting for you. Listen, you're not taking nothing down here with you. The only thing you're going to have in heaven is what you send ahead. Amen. Eternal thing. Being filled with the what? Fruits of what? Righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Use me. Oh, God, use me. Father, if somebody in the building doesn't know Jesus, might that somebody realize there's still room at the cross? And I pray that that person would make room for Jesus to. Now, for all of us that know you, help us to leave here better Christians than we were when we came. That should be what we're striving to do. Now, Lord, we know the devil doesn't like Bible preaching services. He doesn't like Christ honoring, exalting, worshiping services. So He'll do everything he can to distract us, to derail us, to deter us from what you're trying to do. So we ask that you bind him and put a hedge of protection about this place, that the devil would not interfere with the work of the Holy Ghost of God tonight, that everything today, rather, and that everything you want to do, you will do and can do and will be glorified as a result of it. We ask all these things in the mighty, precious, wonderful, matchless, holy name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've come to the end of at least this portion of Scripture that we've been dealing with here in 2024, as our theme is 2024, more and more. And here he tells us in verse number 9 that he's praying for them. Now remember, the man praying is an apostle by the name of Paul, who's locked up in jail, and he's writing to the Philippians, who are a body of believers in Philippi, where he has planted a church. The divine providence of God, the divine appointment of God, led Paul to Philippi, where people would hear the gospel, believe the gospel, get saved, get baptized, and form a church. Now, this is not the message today, but we're living in 2024. I know it just like you know it. There's chaos. There's crime. There's racism. There's immorality. There's homosexuality. There's abortion. There's bickering. There's perversion. There's corruption. There's depression. There's suicide. There's divorce. There's teenage, all kinds of teenage issues. There's drug mess. There's violence on every hand. But I still believe in 2024 that a man can go into a town and preach the gospel and people will get saved. I still believe that believers that get saved will follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And listen to me, you call me crazy if you want to. I still believe that God can build local New Testament churches in any town, in any city, and in any community, because I still believe the power of the gospel is stronger than any power of sin. And so he planted the church, and God used this church, and he developed a very close relationship with him, and now he's writing to them. And as he gets to the end of this text, at least as we've been developing it, he gets to verse number 9 and says, let me tell you what I'm praying to God for you. Let me tell you what I'm wishing for you. Let me tell you what my desire is for you. Let me tell you what I'm hoping for you. I can't get there from jail because they got me locked up. I can't shake your hand. I can't hug you. I can't sit down and eat lunch with you. I can't fellowship with you in person, but I tell you what I am praying, that even while I'm locked up, I'm praying that there's something going on in your life, something going on in your heart, something going on in that congregation, and that the members, I'm talking about men, women, boys, and girls, have been blood washed, Holy Ghost indwelt, situated and set in the body of Christ as it pleases him. I'm praying that each one of you in your own individuality would be abounding, and there's the statement, more and more. In other words, I want to see you growing. I'm troubled, please listen to me, I said it last week, and I'll say it again, I'm troubled by the number of Christian people that I know, sure enough saved. I'm talking about going to heaven but not growing. I'm talking about not growing. As a matter of fact, they're not only not growing, many of them are doing what they just said they wouldn't do in the song. They're going back. And Paul said, that's not what I'm wishing for you. So his specific desire was that they grow. And that specific desire in growth would manifest itself in scriptural depth. He said, the more you grow, he said, you're going to be in knowledge. You're going to know more about God when you grow more in your Christian faith. Listen to me. Is there anybody in the building who wouldn't be ashamed to say, you want to know more about God? Amen. And there's no greater way to know more about God than know more about God's word. So he says, I want you to abound in knowledge. Then he says, I want you to abound in judgment. Remember the word abound, more and more. The word abound means to overflow in judgment. Can you answer this for me? How many people do you know that are overflowing in judgment? What do you mean judgment? Sensible discernment. I mean, they got more common sense than they know what to do with. They've got to give it away to other people. They got so much. No. Most people I know are not overflowing in common sense. They are lacking it altogether. He says, I'm praying that they'll have sensible discernment. I'm praying that the people of God won't be drinking the Kool-Aid of the world. Come on, somebody help me preach. God help us. We don't expect lost people to act saved, but we don't expect saved people to act lost. God give our teenagers discernment to know stuff they shouldn't listen to, know places they shouldn't go, know friends they shouldn't have. God give our parents discernment to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God give our men discernment to keep their eyes on the right thing and not on the wrong thing. God give our ladies discernment not to get caught up in a feminist movement that is anti-biblical principle. God give our singles discernment to know who to pursue in marriage and who to say no to. God give our senior citizens discernment to know in their last quarter of life how to love God and pray more and do more than they've ever done, even if their bodies can't. Listen, there's not anybody in the building who should not be longing for more discernment. You're not going to get discernment from Walmart. You're not going to get discernment from Amazon. You're not going to get discernment by YouTubing a video that shows how to have discernment. You grow in your relationship with God, and the package comes with discernment. Then he says, give them sound discretion that they can approve things that are more and more, that are excellent. That God give Christian people enough discretion to put their check mark beside the right stuff. And there are more than five of you all to say amen to that. Because Christian people seem to not know what's excellent. Amen. By the way, we have never had more access to truth than this generation has. Paul was writing to people who didn't have gospel tracts. They didn't have a written copy of the Word of God. They did not have radio. They did not have internet. They did not have television. They did not have the modern mail system. Come on now. They didn't have any of that, and yet they were getting the gospel all around the world. Now I can get up in the morning, get on WhatsApp, talk to a missionary of ours in Ghana or in Japan or somewhere, and be looking at them without even paying money because it's working off the internet. We got more access to truth, and yet we are giving out less truth. Here's the problem, that along with all the access to more truth, we also have access to more lies. So the same internet that allows you to talk to a missionary about the Lord is the same internet that will expose you to heresy from the devil. God give Christian people to know what preacher ain't worth listening to. God give us Christian people to know what podcast to turn off. God give us Christian people to know when to turn the channel. God give us Christian people to know that song ain't no good. God give us Christian people to know I don't belong in that setting. God give us Christian people to know that's not something I should be doing. I shouldn't move there. I shouldn't work there. I shouldn't hire that person. I shouldn't listen to that. I shouldn't entertain that. I shouldn't relish in that gossip. I shouldn't advocate that foolishness. I shouldn't let them go there. I shouldn't be a part of that. I shouldn't spend my money on that. I shouldn't invest that. I shouldn't give God's tithe over there. I need to know what's excellent. Amen. Yeah, sincere devotion, that it may be sincere, that is without guile, that is without phoniness. Somebody say amen. And then without offense. What do you mean? I mean, your sincere devotion should bring about a sustained distinction. Amen. Without offense. Help me not to scandalize anybody. Huh? That's where we get the word scandal. You know, somebody messing around and doing something with someone they shouldn't be doing. They're in the middle of a scandal. Listen, God help Christian people not to be doing stuff with people they shouldn't be doing it with. I'm talking about talking or walking or living or hanging or singing or playing. God help me not to have offense. I don't want, if you're growing in the Lord, I'm just telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. If you're growing in the Lord, you can't tell me you're getting closer to Jesus while being unconcerned about how your testimony affects other people. Come on now. Now tell the truth. You can't be closer to the Lord and going anywhere you want to go, saying anything you want to say, doing anything you want to do, and not worrying about, you can't be going to heaven posting anything you want to post and cussing anyone you want to cuss. No. If the Christian life, the more you love God, the more you love people. The more you're concerned about God, the more you're concerned about people. The closer you get to God, the more your testimony wants to look like God. God help us to live above offense. God give Christian, listen, if you're Christian, you ought to be living above offense. I said you ought to be living above offense. That means your language should not be profane. That means you shouldn't be involved in immorality. That means you shouldn't be shacking up and living with someone that's not your husband or wife. That means you shouldn't be doing things that are, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying you can't play on God's team and wear the world's uniform. No, it's not fair. not fair to God. And that sustained distinction should last until the day of Christ. Amen. Verse number 11. And I should have a saturated description. I'm almost done. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. I'll not re-preach this, but you know, you come on, Christian. Your life should have a bunch of fruit in it, and the fruit should be righteous. Amen. Amen. And then he says in verse number 11, which are by Jesus Christ. This is a supernatural demonstration. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. How in the world can I have fruits of righteousness in my life? There's only one way you can get it. You got to get it by Jesus Christ. So don't miss this. Because there is a phase of mechanical Christianity. Watch this now. That cannot keep up. Somebody help me preach. I'm saying you can't keep being a good Christian if you are producing your Christianity yourself. Listen to me. Look at me. Look at your pastor this morning. You're going to get tired of being a Christian unless a force bigger than you, stronger than you, and greater than you is living through you. I'm not telling you people set out to quit. I'm just telling you they did. I'm not telling you people are trying to walk away from God. I'm just telling you they do. I'm not telling you people give up on serving God on purpose. I'm just telling you they will, because at some point in their life, all that they're doing in the flesh, it runs out. Here's what Paul says. The fruits of righteousness in your life must be by Jesus Christ. There is a supernatural demonstration. Christ liveth in me. Christ who is my hope of glory. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. In life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Listen to me, beloved. You tell me how God can take a son of man who's headed to a devil's hell, full of bad language, full of bad activity, full of foolishness, and save him and change his life around. That is not rehabilitation. That is not confirmation. That is not man putting something in his own strength. That's nothing a church can do for you. That's nothing a school can do for you. That's nothing a preacher slapping you upside the head can do for you. That's nothing oil can do for you. The only way a son of man can live like a holy God is that God comes to live inside of him and supernaturally demonstrate. That's why some Christians in the building are so frustrated in their Christian life. I'm trying to do right, Pastor. I'm trying to do right. People look me straight in the face. You don't realize, Pastor, it's easy for you to say. It's hard for me to do right. Wrong. It's impossible for you to do right. But it's impossible for you to do wrong if you let Christ live through you. I get ticked off when somebody tells me, well, it's easy for you to do right, but it's not easy for me to do right. Ain't no different flesh than when you're a preacher than when you're a hobo. I don't care whether you were born in church or whether you were born in the hood. I don't care whether you never tasted alcohol or whether you drink for a lifestyle. I don't care whether you never smoke weed or you're high on crack every single day. If you're going to get up every day and live a life that pleases Jesus Christ, you need more than a mama and a daddy and a church. You need the Holy Ghost. God to come live inside of you. And let me tell you right now, Nyssa may do it, but God ain't gonna break the door down on you. You gotta open it. So don't come up here waving your hand. I didn't make room for you. And then I make room for you. And you got every deadbolt on your Christian door singing about making room. Give him the key. Leave it open. Supernatural demonstration. For what? A subsequent declaration. That's where we close. Unto the glory and praise of God. What happens when I grow? When I grow, I get fruit of righteousness in me. And when those fruits come inside of me, guess what? My fruitful Christian life is a declaration to the goodness. Somebody help me preach now. Somebody on your job ought to see them fruits of righteousness and give your God the praise. Somebody in your family ought to see them fruits of righteousness and give your God the praise. Somebody in your school ought to see them fruits of righteousness and give your God the praise. Somebody on your social media ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. Somebody in your neighborhood ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. Some of your friends ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. Somebody in the shop mall ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. A waitress at the restaurant ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. A doctor working on your teeth ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. A stranger who's never met you before ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. Somebody at the hotel on your vacation ought to see your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. The lady cleaning your room ought to see your gospel track and your fruits of righteousness and give your God some praise. We're up here trying to tell people, come to church, praise God, praise God. And the music director says, praise God, turn the music up, sing, 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 sing. And some people looking at you like, I don't want to sing. God ain't never done nothing for me. They need to leave the service after the song director says sing and go to the job and go to the school and go to the neighborhood and see somebody who was lost like they are, somebody who was headed to hell like they are, and look at him and say, how you talking like that? How you living like that? How you acting like that? How you dressing like that? How y'all still married? How the young person staying pure? How that person say yes ma'am and no ma'am? Somebody ought to see your works and your fruits of righteousness and give your God the praise. Give your God the praise. What's happening to Christian people anymore? Everywhere I go, I preach at a church sometime, and I ask the pastor, I said, well, where's so-and-so? They ain't serving God no more. What happened to that family? Yeah. They ain't coming to church no more. And it makes you wonder. Sometimes people say to me, now everywhere I go, and it's humbling. When you've been preaching as long as I have, okay, I start preaching out on the road some 29 years ago. And now I run into people say, I got saved when you were preaching, and now my children are underneath you preaching. Somebody say, you're still preaching the same stuff you were preaching back then. Kind of like that vibrant young man who decided to learn the secret behind another man's successful journey in life. He wanted to know what really kept this oldie going on in what he did, because apparently other people who had initially joined a similar pursuit with this man had began slowly falling away one after the other and quitting. So this young man said, why is it you still doing it when a bunch of people that were doing it with you have all fallen off? As kind as the elderly man was, he narrated his story to enlighten the young one about the force behind his endurance through the years. According to the man, he said his dog spotted a rabbit one sunny day while he was resting. Immediately his dog leaped and ran after the rabbit in hopes of catching it. His dog kept barking throughout the chase, and this inadvertently sent invites to other dogs, and of course they joined the race to catch the rabbit too. On and on they went, barking and pursuing this rabbit. And instead of a one-on-one chase, it became a many-to-one affair this time around, a bunch of dogs barking and chasing the rabbit. The pursuit continued for a while until it reached a point where little by little, each one of those dogs started falling off and going back to what they were doing, no longer to chase the rabbit anymore, just the only survivor dog still chasing the rabbit. The other other dogs had joined in running and chasing the rabbit, but now all of a sudden they had given up along the way. In that story, young man, this old man said to the young man, is the answer to your question, he concluded. The young man had a little bit trouble understanding what this story had to do with what he had asked the old man. And the old man basically concluded, he said, my dog kept running after the rabbit because he saw the rabbit. See, the rest of the dogs jumped in because they saw the pursuit. They got happy with running, but running gets old after a while when you don't know what you're running after. Somebody help me preach now. See, I grew up for as long as I can remember. See, I was one of them drug babies. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I didn't really have a choice in the matter. I grew up watching two dogs chase a rabbit. See, when I came down from the bedroom in the morning, I walked past a study where my daddy was on his knees talking to God, chasing the rabbit. I listened to my mama talk about the goodness of God before CC was ever singing it. She said, God is so good. She would pray and say, God, I love you. And I used to listen to them do that, and I thought, well, boy, this really sounds good. So I thought, I'll just jump in and start saying what she's saying. God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love you. I said, I'm going to get and pray me for an hour. About 10 minutes in, I was asleep. I couldn't pray for an hour long. I was trying to do what they did because it looked real good. I mean, daddy seemed like he having a good time. And mama seemed like he having a good time. I knew what they were running. I knew that they were chasing. I knew that they had a pursuit, but I just didn't know what they were pursuing after. Until one day, about 16 years old, I'd already been saved, already been called to preach. One day, I got a glimpse of something that was a little bit different than a pursuit. I saw the person. I fell in love with Jesus, and I saw it wasn't just about running. It was about who they were running after. And when I fell in love with Jesus at 16-year-old, he threw me in the middle of a community, and he said, you're going to love on them, and you're going to reach them, and you better have a testimony, and you're going to watch. You can't smoke with them, you can't drink with them, you can't cuss with them, you can't party with them, but if you'll just show them me, they'll run with you like you're running with me. Over the years, I mean, it's been some years, I had a lot of people join in the run with me. I mean, they're running, just a running, just a running, just a root, 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 just barking away, having a good time. But over the years, a whole lot of them were running. They've all kind of drifted off. Some of them, not all of them, drifted off. They went back to chasing other stuff. They went back to having a bunch of fun. They went back to living their party life. Every once in a while, I run into them, and they run into them, hadn't seen them in a while. I say, hey, how you doing? I ain't seen you in a while. Where you been? And I say to them, hold up, man. Don't ask me where I've been. You know where I've been. Same place I was you saw me 20 years ago. 5811 Hoffman's Lane, Bellis Crossroads, Virginia, 22041, Crossroads Baptist Church. You don't need to see my calendar. You don't need to drive past my house. You don't need to look on the internet. I don't need social media for you. So if you'd get Facebook, we could keep up with you. If you just drive on past here about 9:45 on a Sunday morning, you wouldn't need no Facebook. I'm still doing the same thing I'm doing. Still reading the same Bible I'm reading. Still preaching the same gospel I was preaching. Still loving the same God I'm loving. Bro, you still married, man? Yeah, I'm still married to the same woman. Yeah, she's just not just no baby mama. She's my wife. All my baby's mamas. Yeah, she had all of them. See, when I said I do, that wasn't because I had nothing else to do. When I said I do, it wasn't just because she was cute, and she was. It wasn't just because I didn't want to be immoral, so I need to get, no. When I said I do, I realized I made a vow to Almighty God, till death do me part. And it meant something special to me, so I don't play with it. No. I'm not running after no another woman. I'm not chasing no one. You don't have to worry about this pastor being in some hotel room having some floozy in the room. No. You see, some people say, well, you're a little radical. You maybe you need to slow down and maybe you don't need to go so many places. Maybe you don't need to be so on fire. Maybe you don't need to be so strict about your criticism. You see, I would if I could, but about 16, there was a rabbit went running by. I said there was a rabbit went running by. And see, some of y'all just running because you like to run, but after a while, the run gets tired. See, don't look at this dog like he's crazy. See, I ain't running to run. See, this dog saw the rabbit. I'm afraid that there are Christian people who have fallen in love with the pursuit, but never with the person. And I think some Christians get in love with success. Oh, I'm gonna be a good Christian like that. Oh, I'm gonna preach like him. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about him. I was like that too. I'm preach like him, preach like him, preach like him, preach like him. For long, you're changing your style every week. Huh? So some of you have worked your way through the whole church in every ministry and haven't stayed in one. Because you're trying to keep up with happy people and you've never found out who makes them happy, who gives them joy, who gives them contentment. Listen, listen, don't fall in love with running. There'll come a time in your life where running will get old unless you really saw the rabbit. Paul says, I want you to abound more and more. But not just in Christian pursuit, but in love for Christ, the person. Stop trying to do what somebody else does if you don't know for whom he does it. You copy people all you want to. The devil gonna come along and you're gonna be stuttering. Because there are some things you can't copy. Huh? Some things you can't get secondhand. You got to get it from Jesus or you won't get it. God has a lot of children. He does not have any grandchildren. Okay? You're not God's child because your mama was God's child. You God's child because you've been born into God's family. And may God help us to actually see Jesus so we never stop chasing him until he comes back. And we see him face to face. Our Father, in Jesus' name. I pray for some believers who perhaps haven't seen the rabbit. Some teenagers who grew up in church, but they're running because their parents run. They're running because the youth group runs. And then they graduate and they don't run anymore because they never saw the rabbit. How many say, I'm saved, preacher? I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. Pastor, I want to be in love with the person and not just the pursuit. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to do it for Jesus, not just to be doing Jesus stuff. All over the building, would you put your hand up? Oh, God bless you. You better see the rabbit. Put your hands down. Then let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I wonder if there's anybody in the building say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. I'm not asking you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. Listen to me. Jesus is not a good person. He's the best thing that ever happened. I wonder if there's anybody in the building say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, would you let me pray for you? Would you just slip your hand up long enough for me to see it? Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Just slip your hand up. Anybody like that? Would you? Be honest. Hey, look, every single one of us had to be at this point in time in our life one time when we had to admit we were lost and we were all born lost. But thank God he loved me, forgave me. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell, and I just want you to pray for me. Would you? Just long enough for me to see it, would you? Just slip it up. Christian all over the building, would you pray? Someone on the altar. You can pray right in your seat if you want to. You better, listen, we better make sure we've not gotten excited about the pursuit, coming to church and doing the songs and getting all the Christian, and then we go home and forget about the person, living a lifestyle that's contrary to the same God we just shouted about. Come on. Christianity is not about a pursuit unless you've seen the person. Oh, God help us. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Father, we love you. We bless you. Keep doing what you're doing in us. And the only way to keep on running, though time may pass, is to see Jesus. Help us. We love you and we bless you. Magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the church say amen.